How many are glad to know that we have an absolutely faithful God? And He's faithful. He's here. And He'll be here next week, and He'll be here the week after that, and He's faithful to us. And today I want to start, we're going to start a series the next five Sundays, and there'll be four after this one. So we're going to talk about the experiences of faith that build your life journey. The experiences of faith that build your life journey. We call them the big five here at Hillview, but we're going to kind of work with them a little differently. Why? Why do I need to be a part of these things in my faith experience? And the one we're going to deal with today is, how many of you would like to live in freedom? And I really think God has designed us to live in freedom. And here's some of the things that it encompasses to live in freedom. A life without fear. A life with the certainty that I'm loved. The life with the security that heaven is in my existence. A life that we live life in. And so I'm gonna recommend this powerful activity to you. You ready? It's called Bible study. And you got to have some Bible study. Because guess what? I mean, it's just really simple. I don't know how you follow the Bible if you don't know it. How do you live out these things of faith if you don't know the Word of God? And you say, oh, well, I can read it for myself. That's about like working out by yourself. That's about like running by yourself. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to go jog by myself, it's a lot shorter than when I run with my partner. And we really need to know the Word of God. In fact, I'm going to highly recommend this. Every one of you who are following Jesus Christ, you need to have read the whole Bible. And it's understandable. You need to get the story of God activated in your life. And there's going to be some reasons for that today. I think you got to start and you got to decide what you really believe. You need to know where your pastors stand. You need to know where your preaching pastor stands. And this, guess what? I believe the Bible to be the truth of God's Word. Now, I personally believe every word of it. I believe every word of the Bible. I believe all of it is God's truth. I believe the parts that I can understand, and I believe the parts that I don't understand yet. And here's what I know. Just because I don't understand something doesn't mean it's not true. It doesn't mean it's not real. So I want to deal with something today. It's called truth. Now, y'all going to have to live with a pastor that believes the whole thing is true. And all of God's counsel will lead to, guess what? It will lead to truth being in your life and a freer experience of your life. And we're going to talk about four connection points that truth makes today. Now, let's start here. How many of y'all glad to know that God is true? That God is true. Come on, you got to work with me today. How many of y'all glad to know it's truth? God has some truth. Now, it's interesting. It's going to be tough, man, to struggle with truth in the 21st century because nobody believes there's an absolute truth. Everybody believes that truth's relative. That truth is kind of like, okay, if I feel it, see it, I'm into it, I discover it, I have the experience, then that must be truth. And here comes this wild and crazy guy that says, that has nothing to do with the verification of truth. What I see doesn't mean it's true. Oh, come here, I'll show you. I'll prove my point. How many of you all have looked at something, thought it was what it was, but it really wasn't that in a closer look? So I realized that through my eyes, Marcus, I can see and not see clearly. I'm capable of that. I can see and not see clearly. What about this one? Feelings. This feels right. It must be true. How many of y'all been sucker punched by that deal? He loves me because it feels good. How many of y'all found out that wasn't love? That was just a night. That's not love. Love takes time to grow. See, but it feels what? So if it feels good, it must be what? Must be good. Here's all it means. It feels good means it feels good. That's all that means. That does not mean it's truth. That does not mean it's truth. And this is very tough, guys. And listen, how many of y'all want to live in freedom? How many of y'all want to take your faith experience, that Jesus Christ is in you, and let freedom come out of you? Freedom will not happen till you get to the truth. Freedom will not happen till you get to the truth. A lot of you live in lousy, sorry lives because you live by your feelings. You made stupid decisions. Every stupid decision that I make, I make it all right. Y'all give Dylan a hand. He's a good boy. Look at here. Now watch. When I make a stupid decision, you know why I make a stupid decision? I make a stupid decision because I'm letting my feelings dictate my truth. Yeah, I'll show you it doesn't work. How many of y'all have ever looked across the room? You've been in a new situation, a new environment. You looked across the room and you looked at somebody. You used your perceiver and it deceived you. And you looked at them and felt like you didn't like them. Come on, let's get honest tension. How many of y'all have ever done that before? I mean, you just looked across... Girls. You ever done that? Looked across the room like you went to youth camp, you know, and you looked across the room and there was some girl and you just went, man, I don't like her. When, I've seen girls... Hey, guys do it too, though. Guys, we do it too, yeah? Some big old swole up dude walks in the room, you know, he's walking in like... And every one of us look across and go, man, that dude's a jerk, man. I'll whip him. Huh? How many of y'all get like it, huh? Yep. Come on. Yep. Larry, I can't believe you raised your hand. I thought you were friendly. You're an engineer. Yeah. Hey, no, we're like that. Or in a business meeting. Some guy walk in, you know, he's all in tie, busting off his, you know, and look. And he acts like, well, I got this all figured out. Every one of us are going, man, that dude thinks he's smart. I'll show him smart here in about a few minutes. Huh? Yeah, now watch. We felt like it was true, and then we get to know them, and what happens? They become really good people to us. So I did that to show you this. Be careful of using your feelings and your personal experience as your verification for truth. Warning, that's very popular today. I hear it every day of my life. You hear it every day of your life. Well, that religion, that's like really good for you. And I'm glad it's like cool for you. And I'm glad it blesses you. But I'm just not into it because that's not my groove. And, you know, I worship red chairs and that works for me. So, that doesn't make it true. Now, let me tell you where faith starts. Faith starts in embracing, I'm going to believe there's something beyond myself. His name is who? Good. I'm glad to hear you all put a name to it. His name is Jesus. Somewhere, you got to decide, is Jesus for real? How many of y'all believe Jesus is for real? See, when you believe He's for real, now watch. Then we're going to talk about some things that does. Now, here's the cool thing. Here's what I believe. If you live life determining truth by your experience, you will always have a limited life. Now note that. If you live life determined by your experience only, you will always have a limited life. Because you and I are limited. How many of y'all can say, you know what? Yeah, I'm limited. I know a few things. Here's what happens is, you know what you know where you've been, you know what you've read, you know what you've been exposed to, and that's all you know. You fair with that? That's all I know. And so here's what I have to do. I know some things. But God is all things. See, here's where extremely intellectual people, their argument just dissolves. I don't care how intellectual you are not intellectual enough to hold total knowledge. The deepest in, what's this? Albert Einstein, he was a very brilliant person in one sector of intellect. In physics, in the understanding of mathematics, but he was not all-knowing. How many of you all have met people that can do brain surgery but can't ride a bicycle? Brilliant in one area of life, in one experience of life, but not all knowledge. So see, when we come to God, you and I are some of it. Say that with me. I'm some of it. But He is all of it. Now you see where we begin to ride and motivate inside life. I am some of it, but I'm not what? So I got to have something to guide me. That's where I'm going with all this. Something guides me. Now I'm going to highly recommend this. 1 hour a week, sometime during the week, you get in what? Bible study. Learn the Bible. Learn the Word of God. Learn the truth. And we're going to tell you why you need to learn the truth. Learn the truth. Invest 1 hour a week in experience of Bible study. Now, here's another thing. Truth is not known until it's experienced. Truth is not known until it's experienced. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something. Watch this. A lot of y'all think you know something about being married right now. Because all marriage is, for you all right now, is a fantasy. So you can make it anything you what? Want it to be. Now watch this, I'm going to blow you away. Do not get married if you want to feel good. Now look who's laughing. It's none of the young people. It's what? Everybody that's married. Because guess what? I bet every one of you all got married. I bet you men got married thinking your wife would listen to you. Now, there's a con job. Or how many of y'all got married for happiness? It don't work. First of all, it's a crazy thing. You're going to put a man and a woman together and tell them to be happy. See, when you use the wrong words, you get the wrong substance. You put a man and a woman together and you say, fall in love. That's totally different than being happy. Then you get people on a limited experience. There's a lot of us in this room, we gave up on relationships because we truly were fed a lie, not the truth, that happiness was commitment. And happiness is very cheap. Commitment breeds love. Truth. See the difference? Truth experienced. How many of y'all thought you could raise kids? How many of y'all knew how to raise kids before you had one a lot better now than you got one? My sister used to help me raise my kids. She knew it all. She's got one now. I ain't heard anything out of her in 3 years. And I remember I used to be like, man, I used to be on those truths. Man, you need to discipline those kids. Those kids need to be disciplined. They ought to be disciplined. I can't believe people let their kids run around. And I was doing a wedding. And my male child was a very small child, about 2, 2.5, 3. And I thought, man, how come people let their kids run wild? And this was a swanky wedding, man. These people spend a fortune to get married. I just wanted to tell them, you ain't got to do all that, you know? I mean, I do, we're out of here. Let's go. Go live it. But, I mean, they'd invested in this deal. And we were at this fine establishment. I mean, it was swanky. And at this fine establishment, there was this little fountain in the middle of the statue. And it had a little statue. And it had a little boy on the statue doing the fountain thing. Y'all got your drift here? Now, if you live out in the country, you know every little boy has done the fountain thing at least one time. Sorry, ladies, y'all can't do the fountain thing, okay? But so they had a little boy statue on the statue doing the fountain thing, and I'm sitting there talking to this gentleman. I didn't know who he was, and I looked out beside the fountain, and there was another little boy. And he was looking back at the fountain, showing the fountain he could make. And we're looking through this corridor. I'm looking through this corridor, and this guy looks at me. He said, I wonder whose kid that is. I said, I do too, man. I wonder whose kid that is out there. I said, I'll tell you what, their parents, they ought to control them. I said, I guarantee that kid right there got a mama that ain't keeping up with him. I guarantee you that. I looked at guess whose kid it was. Mine. And so here's what I found about life. It's a lot easier to read the truth, speak the truth, than live the truth. But I want to see what truth does to you. Why do we need to experience Bible study? Truth, please write this down if you're taking notes because you need to know this. Truth needs to be activated in my experience of life and not just comprehended. It's got to be activated before it becomes spiritual. If it's not activated, it is just information. When activated, it becomes incarnation. it incarnates itself. That means it becomes what it's supposed to be in you. We use this in therapy. We use this in 12-step program. Watch this. First step in 12-step program. I got any steppers in here? First step, what is it? Admit that we're powerless, and what are we actually saying? I can say that. I got a problem. My problem is real. I can't quit. I am addicted. I won't stop. I got a problem. Truth. Now see, that truth begins to lead you to your what? Freedom. The problem is I am confined. And God wants me to be released. See, here's the thing. Man didn't write the 12 steps. God did. Amen. Nobody understands this about 12 steps. The 12 steps originally were a Jesus program. Yeah. Came out of the holiness movement in Oxford University. I'm talking not until it got to America. Before it got to America. Came out of the Wesleyan revival area. Everybody was drinking. In Europe. Here's why you heard so much about drinking in the church, because they hit a time where all the men, all they do is go drink and gamble. Well, the problem was they didn't feed their families. And the problem was they didn't take care of the kids. And the problem was that society was collapsing. Because here's what happens. Here's the truth. You cannot do good business with a messed up mind. If you've been in a Bible study, guess what? The Bible says, be ye what? Sober of mind. Ah, gee. Maybe God created us or something. I don't know. Now let's look at truth. John chapter 8. Why do I need to go to Bible study? Well, I need truth to be established in my life that will lead me to living a full and abundant free life. Freedom. Freedom. If you look at America, why in the world are we missing some of the freedom that we used to have? I would suggest to you because we stepped away from some of the truth we used to have. Here's a fallacy. Not everybody's equal. How many of y'all bought into that con? That's a con job. It's a con job. You put me on a running track, there's a lot of people that can outrun me. You can affirm my action and they'll still outrun me. They're faster. Fact. Truth. Now, when I realize that truth, then I operate from that truth and not from a fallacy. Is there injustice in the world? Yes. Will there always be injustice in the world? Yes. So I got to decide whose principles I want to operate out of. Mine, my neighbor's, my culture's, or my Jesus, Word of God, the Lord, the truth. Exactly right. Well, let's see what he says. Here's what Jesus says. Now, look, verse 31, chapter 8. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Now, if you want a view of discipleship, this seems to be up to grab. Everybody's wondering, who are those who are saved? Those who hold to Jesus' teachings. He said it. Who really are the disciples? Those who hold to the teachings. They do what he says. You say, well, Pastor Steve, what about all the people that don't do what he says? Big trouble. Now, I want you to know four things about truth. Why? Here's what happens. The truth. Ready? He says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you what?
Free.
How many of y'all ready to be free? How many of you know you already are free? How many of y'all are in Jesus Christ? You know Jesus has saved you. You know your sins are forgiven. You know you're headed to heaven. You know you're connected to God. How many of y'all got that going on? You're free. Now, so the deeper question now is not am I saved, but what am I doing with my salvation? Am I claiming to have the salvation of Christ and living a powerless life? And if I am, it's because I'm not activating the salvation that is within me. Now that's a fact, Jack. Hear the truth. I've always said this about the church. If we prayed as much as we whined, we'd see great and powerful things go on. God, not one time in the Scripture says, gather together and whine with one another that I might be in your midst. Even Jesus doesn't want to hear you. Why? Because He saved you. And Jesus doesn't want to hear how difficult it is. He wants you to hold to the teachings. I'll give you the first teaching you got to embrace. First connection. We are all sinners and only Jesus can save us. First thing of truth you got to know. Now watch this. The world changes when you realize everybody's messed up. How many of y'all realize everybody's made a mistake? Everybody's broke the Ten Commandments. We're not bad people. We're outlaws. See, some of y'all are so worried about being bad, you're not bad, you're an outlaw. You broke God's law. I broke God's law. How many of you all have broken God's law? The Ten Commandments. You can put them in your front yard, but you'll still break them. You can put them up in the schoolhouse, but you'll still break them. I don't know anybody but one guy that kept the Ten Commandments. How many of y'all, anybody in here kept one? Good, y'all are pretty smart. If you break one, you broke them what? Wonder why God did it that way. Wonder how come if you broke three, at least you make a C or something. How come He didn't do it like that? Well, see, He's perfect, and He said, I want you to be saved. He's perfect, and God said, I want you to be what? Saved. And some of y'all, listen, I love you, but you're driving yourselves crazy because you're trying to be perfect. And you're gross. Because you're not perfect. And you're not going to be perfect. And when you try to be perfect, you're not perfect. You're just anxious. You're not free. First truth. How many of y'all realize this? First truth. Everybody's a sinner. And Jesus is a Savior. I don't know about you, but once a week I need to hear that truth. That's why I go Bible study. I want to hear that truth once a week. Number two, the truth of God's Word creates boundaries so you will live well. The truth of God's Word creates boundaries so you will live well. This is the wildest thing. Y'all may not buy this yet. It took me a long time to buy this. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. I've always been a freedom guy. I love freedom. I love choice. I love to be able to live wide open. And it's the wildest thing I've ever found. Boundaries create freedom. But I was living in a false position because I thought no boundaries were freedom. And really, boundaries are freedom. I'll explain to you. If you're an alcoholic and you set a boundary, I'm not going to drink, what do you get in your life? Freedom! And if you have no boundaries, then what do you get? Here, I'll explain to you. Watch this. If you make a conscious decision and say, even though the world's ruining their lives sexually, they're all just, you know, just going at it like rabbits, I'm going to choose to not be a rabbit. I'm a human. And I'm going to function under God's truth. And God says, I'm going to save the marriage bed. I'm going to leave it. Watch this. If you make that decision, what's in that decision? Freedom! It's great to not have a child at 15. I have a foolproof method how that can never happen. Just say no works on this deal. Guys, don't ask. You're too dumb for yourself, much less someone else. That's just the way we're made. No. You wake up and you go, well, Pastor Steve, you don't understand. I got feelings. Well, good. That means you're human. Here's the boundary. Our feelings are controllable. Now my dog, Ski-Doo, he's a dog. He has uncontrollable feelings. He gets a feeling and he's got to bound to the field till he gets some action. You know why? He's a dog. I'm a man. Feeling, truth, boundary, freedom. See how that works? Here comes a feeling. I'd like to. Here comes the truth. You better not. Because see, if I did, then there's going to be no freedom. Because some lawyer going to take all my money. Some other man's going to live in my house. Somebody else going to drive my truck. Then I'm going to hurt him bad and be in jail. You see how truth will set you free? See how that works? Now listen, you don't ever have that drama if you stay in the what? Most time, here's what people ask me. How can I live outside the boundaries and have the blessing that God wants me to have? Y'all want to hear the truth? You can't. It's time to hear it straight. You can't. Just simple stuff. Watch this. Boundaries. Here's a great boundary. Go to work. What happens if you go to work? I would wish a lot more of y'all would participate in this conversation right here. Y'all are scaring me. And when you give me that look like this is a new idea, this really scares me. Get a job. Go to work. Don't be owned by the government. You know what the government's doing? Paying slaves. And they'll own you. And one day, they'll really own you. Because here's a truth in life. When you decide to do nothing, there will always be somebody that'll do it for you for a price. And the price will be your freedom. Truth will set you what? There's truth. How many of y'all glad to know that you can prosper? See, truth. Healthy boundaries. I'll give you the third thing. Truth changes our relationships. The truth of God's Word changes our relationships. I'm just going to deal with one principle today because I could preach on this forever and ever. Watch this. One truth principle. Does the Bible teach forgiveness? What does forgiveness do to our relationships? Sets you free. If you've forgiven somebody, you don't have to be mad at them anymore. If you're not mad at them anymore, then you're not upset anymore, and then you don't have to take your stomach medicine. It's a lot of freedom. Man, you guys are going to be rich when you start living like this. Now we're talking about prosperity. How many of y'all want to live it? Girls, how would you like to not be jealous? Come on, be honest with me here. Let's keep, y'all always tell you, a whole generation going to talk about honesty. Well, let's be honest. What? Guys, too. What would life be like without envy and jealousy in a youth culture? Would it change the way we function? What do you think, Marcus? You're an intellectual being. What's your observation? Huh? Have you seen envy or jealousy in your high school experience? You will see more of it in your college experience. When you go in business, guess what you'll see? Mm-hmm. You'll watch people's lives be torn apart by jealousy and envy. But the Bible teaches us to be what? Not jealous and not envious and to be free. What does that create in our lives? A full and abundant life. Y'all see how it affects things relationally? I'm telling you guys, listen, ladies, forgiveness is better than oil of Olay. Have you seen? Because let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about forgiveness. It's really dangerous, okay? If you don't forgive people in your life, then see, you don't know the first truth that we've all messed up somewhere, then you'll become bitter. And when you become bitter at people, you'll look like one of those apple people by the time you're 50. Because eventually that little troll inside of you comes out. That little life comes out. And so guess what you got to do? Give it in to God. So watch this. The Bible tells us that we're sinners and we need a relationship with Jesus. The Bible gives us healthy boundaries so that we might have blessings. The Bible teaches us how to be relationally. And here's another thing Bible study does, learning the truth of God's Word that I want you to lock into. It reminds you of your guaranteed destiny. Heaven. It lets you know over and over and over again where you finally end up. Where? Heaven. And so you need to study. How long? What am I recommending to you as your pastor? 1 hour. How long? 1 hour. How many times? Once a week. We'll start changing your understanding and perspective of God. Bible study is important. We got to get on it. Is that cool? Because studying God's Word leads to what? Freedom. And God desires that every one of us in this room be what?
Free.
Not just saved, but that our salvation would change our lifestyle and we get to live in the freedom that He's prepared for us. Cool? Any questions? Does this stuff work? That'd be my question today. Yes. I could probably, some of y'all could stand up and say, let me tell you, I put truth in my life. It created healthy boundaries. It changed my relationships. I understood heaven. And boom, it's changed the way I've reorganized my life. So that's where we are today. So go study and prosper and let that happen. Just made sense? Just connected with anybody today? All right, you ready? Let's stand up then. First truth right here. First truth. First truth. First truth. Is anybody here today not connected to Jesus Christ? Then you got to wrestle with first truth. First truth today, how many of y'all, do you really believe that Jesus Christ would come into your life and save your sins? Welcome to freedom. There's a lot of people in this room that are believing that. They're saying, Lord Jesus is the Lord of my life. He's truth, and I want Him to come into my life. A lot of people in this room have already asked that. And God, what did God say when you, come on, somebody confess to me today. When you said, Jesus, forgive me, what did He say? My brother in Christ, Anthony, today, guess what he said? He declared in the baptistry that I asked Jesus to forgive me, and He did. And my younger brother, he said, Dale said, you know what? I asked Jesus into my life, and He did. Now, I want us to think in the name of Jesus, how many of you all know that your sins are forgiven because you've come to a point in your life where you said, you know what? First truth, I'm a sinner. Jesus is a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my what? Sin. Only Jesus can save you. I believe that. Watch this. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth. He didn't say, and there's another one. Here's what's interesting. John the Baptist said, there's one that comes after me that's greater than me. Jesus never said that. Jesus said, I am it. Kind of like the Terminator. I am the one who can terminate sin and bring life. I'm it. Follow me. So maybe today you need to come and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. I want the truth that'll set me free. Once again, let me give you the truth. Everybody's what? Y'all are awful quiet today. Everybody did what? Everybody has. So don't look around the room going, I wonder what that dude did. Same thing you did. Especially some of you real churched up people that go, well, I ain't never committed adultery. Yeah, you have. You've been staring at the Victoria's Secret catalog. Well, no, that doesn't count because they still got their underwear on. It ain't about their body. It's about your mind and your heart. That's what caused you to sin. That's right. You are one of us. A sinner just like one of us. A human being in need and salvation just like what? One of us. One of us. So I invite you to the salvation of Jesus today. You say, well, how do I get saved? I start like, yes, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm messed up. I'm messed up and I'm tore up, God. I know I've not done what You wanted me to do. Lord Jesus, come in my life. Forgive me of my what? Truth. Now, if you've received Jesus, you need to be baptized. I don't get this one. I don't understand. Y'all are going to have to help me understand. Well, now, I'm really committed to Jesus, but I'm not going to do the first thing He asked me to do. See, it comes, those who are my disciples follow me. They don't just listen to me. They don't just look at me. They follow me. There's a big difference. So maybe today you need to come and say, you know what, Jesus, I've been claiming You for a long time. I'm going to step up and confess You in baptism. Maybe today you need to come and say, you know what, Lord, I'm not living out the full freedom I could be living out. Give me the truth that'll set me free. All right? Well, let's pray and we're going to open this altar up and God's going to do His thing. Lord Jesus, I want to thank You for the souls that You've already drawn to You today. But Lord, there's a room full of folk here today and some of them, for the first time, need to make that confession. If that's you, why don't you make it today? Lord Jesus, come into my life. I know I've sinned. I know I need You today. I want to live freedom like I couldn't without you. So Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my what? Sin. And now maybe today you need to come and say, Lord, you know what? I've been claiming you and I want to be baptized in your name. Maybe you need to come today and say, you know what, Lord, I'm sorry. I about halfway do what you say. And Lord, please forgive me that I don't even know what you say because I only give you about 30 minutes worth of time a week. Create in me a heart that really wants to know what you got to say, God. I guarantee you freedom will be on your way. So this altar is going to open up and people are going to come and they're going to know Christ. And some people are going to get healed right now. And some people are really going to get set free right now. Man, I just shoot it straight, man. That's the only way I know to do it. Listen, if drugs, alcohol, that kind of stuff's all up on you right now, trying to contain your life, I got good news. In the name of Jesus, you don't have to continue on. I'll tell you the truth. If you're tired of roaming around, hoping the next thing's going to be better than the last thing, even though it's all the same thing, guess what? You don't have to live that life anymore. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's what I know about Jesus. Once He gets you, you may take some wrong steps, but He's always going to redirect them back toward heaven. And that's the good news. Amen. This altar's open. Come on. It's open for you, for the Spirit of God, and for people to be blessed. Lord, I just ask right now, you draw folks. Those that need to be baptized, those that need to be saved, those that need to be healed, those that just need to be touched, those that just need to come and say, God, I want to thank you for being real. God, I pray for those that are overly religious. I pray for those at Hillview that are overly religious. They've been to church so long that the altar's numb to them. The songs are numb to them. It's just an hour of religious exercise. I pray in the name of Jesus that you move us to the reality of truth. And that truth would motivate us, Lord, every one of us. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, church. God's speaking to you. Come on, let's talk together. The altar, the seat, your friend. Let God know He loves you. Let God know. I'm saying it like I want to say it. Let God know that He loves you. Thank Him for it. Thank Him for it. Come on. Come on.